Welcoming into the studio, Graham Shapiro, Kickstart 101. Graham, how are you?
Very good, and you?
Excellent, thank you. We're talking about disruptions and not in the form of taxi strikes this week.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And, you know, disruption is one of those buzzwords that's really out there, and it's been out there for a while. So I thought it was just important. You know, a lot of people don't actually know what it means.
Because in this case, disruption is actually a positive word, isn't it?
Absolutely. So it's
scary, but positive.
Well, it's scary if you don't know what it means.
Okay.
So, you know, what it really means is it just is, you know, disrupting the established way of doing business. You know, so the way I actually saw an interesting definition. It says that, you know, it compared disruption versus innovation, and those are often two things that are confused.
Mm.
And disruption was described as irrational, and innovation was described as rational.
That's interesting. Okay.
So, I mean, you take an example, another place where people – I'll give you an example in a second, but one place where people get disruption and innovation confused is people think disruption is better, faster, cheaper. Where in actual fact, that's just innovation. Disruption is where we completely change our mindset and do things in a completely new and different way. And I was listening in the car here, and you actually used, you know, the two examples which come to mind, which everybody knows about, are Airbnb and Uber.
Mm-hmm.
So if you actually think about them, Airbnb completely turned the hotel and holiday industry on its head.
The hospitality.
The hospitality,
industry.
Exactly. And now it's if you think about it, in terms of the rational thinking, it's completely irrational to go stay in somebody else's house when you go on holiday, unless you know them. And that's the, you know, that's the Airbnb model.
So would you say Uber is as well? It's only rational to be able to call us a taxi on your phone, but it's completely life-altering.
So the irrational side of it is that anybody can go become a taxi driver.
So you've got
a car, you can go become an Uber driver.
Right.
And that's the...
So it's not the process, it's the actual business behind it.
Exactly, and that's the disruption behind it. And what I like about Uber is it's almost like...
Carry on.
I was just about to say, what's nice about Uber is it's become a word. You know, just like Google. You know, when you search for something on the internet, you Google something. These days, when you take a taxi, you Uber.
Yeah, this is true. Would you say the disruptive part of Uber, therefore, is the concept that, everybody can be a taxi driver? Or is it the fact that for the very first time, we'd have our credit card on an app, you press a button, it finds your location, and it sends a taxi to you? So would you say it's the technology behind Uber or the business model of Uber that is disruptive?
So I would say it's more the business model that's behind it. You know, obviously the idea of paying for taxis with your credit card on your phone is an interesting innovation, but in terms of the disruptive part, it's really the business model where anyone can go become a taxi driver. And
I'm just going to interrupt you for a moment to do this.
You need to know this right now.
Rolene Marks updating us that there has been a car explosion. A car has exploded after hitting a police van on the Champs-Élysées. It has just happened. We will be waiting for more information. And whilst we talk, I have no doubt that Sasha will be researching that story. Okay, sorry, Graham. We were talking about cars.
not the exploding type. But
right.
We were also talking about disruption.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Back to the topic of being at the business model, mm-hmm. that was really the disruptive part there, is where, you know, the complete idea of who is a taxi driver, who can be a taxi driver, it's no longer it now – becomes a person who become a taxi driver. A person can have his own personal hotel in his house if you've got the space. You know, then back to sort of looking at, you know, the difference between, you know, how the disruption has changed our way of thinking and the way we behave, is what it really is doing is it's completely changing the way that we do everything. And there's no industry which is really safe at the moment. And I don't know if you've ever heard of something called Coursera.
No, I haven't. What is that?
So what it is it's online. It offers online courses from all the best universities in the world, from all the best lecturers in the world. And, you know, even UCT is even included there. But obviously, you know, the classic big universities, UPenn is there, Yale, Stanford. And what that's done is made these courses from a four-week course to a three-year degree available to anyone in the world with an internet connection. Obviously at a price, but there, what that's really done is turned the whole education, the higher education model on its head. Is now you don't have to get into an Ivy League university to get an Ivy League education. Obviously, it will bear differently for you when you come in front of an employer.
Sure.
But in terms of actually having the access to, you know, information and the best teachers in the world, you know, that sort of opened up that whole education channel.
The scary thing about this is that we actually lose confidence to some extent in the stability of our future. What I'm saying by that is we might assume that, or our children are coming out of school, that they should study medicine or whatever it would be. But given the fact that almost within a couple of month period, because that's the speed that these things are changing, an entire industry, and I'm not saying medicine per se, probably it might well have been one of the worst examples to use, but an entire industry or profession could be eliminated or altered forever by the invention of some form of disruptive technology or disruptive business case.
Absolutely. And I think that's what they say is one of the educators. One of the most difficult thing for educators today is because they often, you know, it's not really a cliched line, but they often say that higher education has to train people for jobs that don't exist. So I think it's both a positive, there's also a positive side to it, is that it really challenges old curriculums. You know, you really have to question what you're teaching people in universities and what sort of skills people are coming out of university with. You know, obviously, you know, you used medicine as an example. Obviously, you need medical training. But take, for example, I can't think of one off the top of my head, but, you know, you need to actually teach more skills than just information and how to process information. And
right, so maybe
critical
it's
thinking.
I was just going to say, it's about thinking rather than it is. I guess you still need the skills. Unsigned SMS, thank you, says, oh, sorry, it is signed. Dean says, go check out Degreed. So that's Degreed.com. That's disrupting the education industry, like Coursera on steroids. Their goal is normal university. In fact, I think we did speak about it when I was more involved with the morning show. I think we looked at it. Mm-hmm. And there were some amazing things on Degreed.com. I'd forgotten about that. Thanks, Dean. Thanks for the reminder.
Well, I mean, there's another example. You know, I used an example of Coursera, and there's not only one. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you know, we've just heard of another one, and there's many others. So, you know, that's just an example of education being disruptive. Mm-hmm. You know, then you sort of ask, you know, where did this all start? You know, who were the first real disruptors,
right?
And
it's Alexander Graham Bell, but all right.
I was also, funny enough, I was also thinking in terms of the older ones. But then I questioned: was that innovation or was it disruption?
Oh, you're probably Galileo. I mean, he was the first bloke that said the world isn't exactly like we think it is,
and it didn't end out so well for him.
Yeah.
But you know, in terms of more of the modern examples, I would say definitely Jeff Bezos from Amazon.
Yes,
really introduced online shopping into the world. And at that stage, you know, it was a bizarre thing to think of, that, you know, you can go online, buy something and get delivered
and
without
it.
It
was only books at that point, but yes,
for
absolutely
sure.
Right.
And now it's extended into everything. And now internet
Whole
shopping.
Whole Foods as
just
well.
Yeah, well.
I saw that.
Yeah, so they've just acquired Whole Foods, which is the Woolworths of America.
Uh-huh.
I would rather say Woolworths is the Whole Foods of...
Exactly, Woolworths. No, nobody, you know, can rival that around the world.
And you know, also Bill Gates was a big disruptor. You know, his whole model for Microsoft was to put a computer in every single home, home in the world, and people thought he was crazy. And you know, truth be told, he was. It was a crazy idea, and it's that same level of irrationality and that sort of disrupted a whole market. You know, in terms of South Africa, you know, I often think about South Africa and where we are with this whole trend. You know. you know, coming back to the internet shopping, we're only starting to shop on the internet now. People are only really starting to use Takealot and think, you know, Kalahari's been around for a while, but I think they actually, together with Takealot.
Yes, Takealot took over Kalahari.
So there's plenty of opportunity in South Africa for disruptive technology to take over. Now, if you think about one of the main areas where I think a massive disruption is coming, and it's slowly coming in now, is with DSTV.
They morphing. Very, very interesting to see the changes happening there.
Well, they have to protect. They have the thing is, the only reason I have DSTV is because of sport. You know, there's for me because you know,
a lot of people say that that because you can't get the sport that you want on any other channel.
And I think you know, we'll take for example the other issue is with the fiber rollout and internet connections. You know, that's probably slowing the growth in those sort of areas, because if everybody had fast, reliable internet connections, and you didn't watch sport. I don't think
it's interesting, because I was looking for something to watch last night, and I went on to catch up, and I know that there's a fair amount you can choose from, but it's actually pitiful.
Yeah.
You should have libraries to be able to watch, and not just the last three episodes, but like a Netflix, the entire series.
Absolutely.
So, you know, as I was actually thinking exactly that, the DSTV better catch up, otherwise, so to speak, if you'll excuse that expression, or they're going to lose out. I see what they have changed, that you can now have one subscription on five tablets. That's very Netflix.
And they also have Showmax, which is connected to them, which is sort of their answer to Netflix.
Yes.
And Showmax are actually starting to produce their own series also.
Yes.
But at the same time, while reaching a point where sport becomes available on streaming, it has to.
Right.
I think it has to eventually, and I think DSTV.
So, what are you predicting, Graham Shapiro from Kickstart 101? What are you predicting DSTV is going to look like in a year's time?
It will be interesting. I think as long as Super Sport have rights to all the sport, they'll still be alive.
It's just it's fascinating to me, because I notice even with my children in living in the same house, I'm probably the only person who watches DSTV in the house. They are going to download something. They're going to watch exactly what they're going to watch when they want to watch it.
Well, also, you grew up channel hopping, so there's some sort of
when I first grew up, there was no channels to hop.
I took your age.
Exactly. I look very young.
You know, there's some interesting thing about channel hopping. You know, finding an old movie that you were halfway through, but I don't think that's enough for DSTV.
No, I don't think so.
So you know, the next question is how should we approach disruption? Mm-hmm. You know, first of all, as individuals, embrace it. Disruption is always for the good of the masses. There's you know, it's almost like a revolution. You know, never mind how the revolutions pan out a few months later, but it's always for the good of the masses, and it's always there to make our lives better and easier, and it's always there to address a need that big industry hasn't addressed because they're too fixed in their ways. In terms of businesses, just to finish off quickly, as a business, if you are an industry that is geared for disruption, don't think that you're too big. Try embrace it and try bring it into your organization and the way that you do things, because you know, otherwise you will learn, unfortunately, the hard way that the masses can speak, and they can speak very quickly.
Absolutely right. That is Graham Shapiro, Kickstart 101. Graham is the owner of Shapiro Advisory, a financial advisory company for SMEs. Graham, thank you as always for your very, very interesting